Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
God's love. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 38, our scripture verse here today. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question. Which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Verse 38 says, this is the great and first commandment. Last week we talked about God's love for us and how unique His love is compared with all the other forms of love that our society tries to define. So we kind of unpacked what God's love was last week. We talked about this word agape love. And we looked at the different types of love that were in the culture at the time the New Testament was written, specifically in the Greek language. It said God's love is miraculously powerful and life-changing. Miraculously powerful and life-changing. Far too many churches and far too many sects of Christianity act like somehow following Christ is to learn the right set of rules. And we have outward transformation, but not inward transformation. The love of God miraculously and powerfully transforms us from the inside out. Because I don't know about you, but there's a long season of my life that I was unlovable, and yet God loved me. And maybe some of you can relate to that. Well, moving on today, once we understand God's love, we can know how we are, in fact, called to love God. The way that God designed us to love Him. Now, I've got a clip from a really, really wonderful movie. This is one of my wife's favorite movies. I think she had a crush on the kid, but I'm not going to go there. So just watch this little clip, if you would, and just it'll set us our discussion up today.
First, wash all the car, then wax. Remember, deal. No question.
Yeah, but
right. Wax on, right hand. Wax off, left hand.
How many of you remember the movie?
Wax on, wax off.
But I love that clip. Because as I was thinking about that clip particularly, I began to think of Jesus' words conveying to His disciples, trying to tell them about what love is and how He had created and called them to love. And they were kind of like Daniel's song. You know, I'm going to do it my own way. How many of you don't like being told how to do much of anything? Honestly? Okay, let me change it like this. How many of you love for people to correct you and tell you exactly? Yeah. Nobody likes that. In fact, it's the sign of our culture and it's the sign of our current age that no one really has the right, I said the right, the authority to tell us anything. Because right now, our society, we live in a place where we determine our own truth, we determine our own way, and we determine our own life. Which stands in stark contrast to the words of Jesus in the Gospel of John, where He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we need to agree one premise before we can go any further, and that is this. Does Jesus have the right to challenge any of our incorrect perceptions of love? Does Jesus have the right to tell us how to love? Well, 1 John chapter 4, 7 through 10. John writes, and remember, John has a special place about love, a special understanding of love. He's known as John the Beloved. He says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is where? Love is from who? So does love come from our emotions? Does love come from our efforts? Where does love come from? Sounds like an 80s song. Love comes from God. In other words, God is the author of love. We go a little bit further and we find out that God, in fact, is love. Okay? If we look at the end of verse 8, anyone who does not love does not know God because God is love. So we have this thing where we say, hey, I'm going to love God the way that I think it should be done. In actuality, kind of God's, and I don't want to make the comparison of God and Mr. Miyagi, but I'm going to. But I understand it's a bad comparison, but it works. It's like we say, this is how I think it should be done. I'm going to sand the fence. I'm going to paint the thing. And in actuality, we're kind of doing it. We're doing it like Daniel's son, or maybe we're actually doing it like Huck Finn. We're going to trick somebody else to do it so we can get the credit. And so, God, we have to set ourselves before we go any further that God has every right to challenge our incorrect, our futile concept of what it means to love Him, because the example of God's love was Jesus incarnate, was God the Father giving His only begotten Son. The example of love for us is Jesus, the Son, coming and doing the will of the Father far beyond anything that He desired. So that's our launching point. Three thoughts today on understanding how we are called to love God. Number one, this one hurts. God knows the authenticity of our love. There are things that I believe that I'm doing with the right motive and the right thought, but it doesn't quite line up. When God has heart-to-hearts with me, they're not always pleasant. Sometimes God directs me to look at a situation or how I'm dealing with another person. Usually somebody who's irritating the heck out of me. And He causes me to look at those things and then examine, am I functioning in love? And I'm like, well, yeah, I'm being patient. And then He usually comes back and challenges it. Or times that I am doing things or doing acts of service. And I assume because I'm busy, anybody busy serving God from time to time, that equates love. No. And so God really pulls me aside and likes to kind of get into some things. Let's look at an example in Scripture, because Jesus often would pull people aside and try to correct them. How many of you remember the Apostle Peter? And Peter was always, you know, kind of opening his mouth and be the first to say things. And, you know, Lord, I'll never deny You. And Jesus is like, no, You're going to deny Me three times. No. I'll die before I deny You, right? And then, just a few hours later, we find Peter denying the Lord three times. The very one who He said, I love You so much that I will die for You. The beautiful thing about Jesus, this is a very, very, very cool story, is that Jesus loves him too much to just let it go. You see, we see a very, very interesting thing here. You know, Jesus gets that Peter's kind of hard-headed. Maybe that's why He called Peter the rock. He's a rockhead, okay? But Jesus knew him. And in spite of Jesus' foreknowledge that Peter was going to deny Him, that Peter wasn't perfect, Jesus still, everybody said still, called him to the inner circle. And that's good news for some of us. If you don't have it all together, Jesus still wants to call you close. And so He has a conversation with Peter, who had just denied Him three times after saying that he never would, because Peter was afraid that if those around the arrest of Jesus put the two of them together, that they might kill Peter. And Jesus, after the resurrection, has a conversation. He comes back. Peter's fishing on a boat. Jesus comes and says, hey, come on in. They're having breakfast. And then Jesus has this conversation with Peter. John chapter 21, 15 through 19. And guys, this blew my socks off. I'm wearing them today, but it did blow my socks off. Okay. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love Me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, You know that I love You. He said to him, feed My lambs. They said to Him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love Me? He said, yes, Lord, You know that I love You. And He said, tend My sheep. And He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love Me? And what does it say? Peter was what? Why? Because He said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know, okay? You know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself. You used to walk around wherever you would go, okay? He was telling him, look, when you're young, when you're immature, this is what you did. You did what you wanted. And then he says, but when you are old, when you mature, you're going to stretch out your hands. And another is going to dress you and carry you to where you don't want to go. And he said this, he said, to show by what kind of death he was going to glorify God. And after this, he said, follow me. Now, what if this conversation was a little bit deeper than what we see, because in actuality it was, and we miss it in the English. Last week we talked about several types of love. How many of you remember what storge love was? Come on. Storge was a love between... Very, very good. Gold star up here to Aubrey. It's a family love, familial love, like a parents have for a child. Then we had the love filio. Filio was what type of love? Remember Philadelphia, the city of... Brotherly love, yeah. And then we had agape, and agape is God's love. That's beyond emotion. It's not limited or founded in emotion. So, if I want to kind of translate this a little different for you, check this out. Because this is actually what the language is showing. Jesus says, Peter, do you agape me? Do you have agape towards me? Do you have God's love toward me? And guess what Peter's response is? Lord, you know I love you, but he doesn't use the word agape. He uses the word filio. Lord, hey, come on. You know that I'm close. You know we've been through a whole lot. God, you know I have a commitment to you, but it wasn't the commitment that Jesus was asking. You see, we miss this in the English. Jesus said, do you have God's love for me? And he said, you know that I love you like a brother. You know I have an intense commitment. You know we've been through a whole lot. You know I have a dedication to you. And so, he points him toward his interaction with the sheep. And then he comes back again. Says, hey, come on, Peter, let's try this again. Do you have agape for me? Do you have God's love for me? And Peter's response is, Lord, come on. You know that I love you, but he doesn't use the word agape again. He uses the word filio. Third time Jesus asks him this, he says, okay, Peter, do you love me? Filio. In other words, I know where you're at. I'm going to bring it down to your level. And guess what? Peter was grieved. The grief that Peter had, I think that there's a couple of reasons for this. For one, he says, hey, you know all things. In other words, you know that I used to claim that I loved you, but in actuality, I loved you when it was convenient. And when it wasn't convenient, when my life was on the line, I really don't love you that much. And so we can see several things. First of all, Jesus knows the authenticity. God knows the authenticity of our love. But he's calling us to someplace deeper. He knows where we're at. He knows it. You see, I see this as Jesus calling Peter past his shallow, selfish love to a deeper place of agape. And then now it makes sense. Because prior to this, this interaction did not make sense for Jesus to say, look, you are immature now. You're young now. You do what you want. You have brotherly love. You may even have storge. You can have family love. But agape love is, everybody church, take a big breath of oxygen because you got to get this. Agape love is not selfish. Agape love, God's love, is not self-seeking. It is not focused on what I get, and it is willing to pay a cost. And as we begin our conversation about how we were really created, I mean, guys, when we function selfishly, we are not flowing in the best. Everybody say the best. The best that God has for us. When we're trying to protect number one, when we're only looking at ourselves, we're not in the right place. The fulfillment of where God would have us. So point number two is this. Even though God knows where we are, even though Jesus gets that we may not have arrived, and I haven't gotten there, and I don't think probably any of us have really gotten to the fulfillment, it doesn't mean that he's not still calling us to someplace deeper. And so point two is this, we're called to love the way that God loves us. You see, in Ephesians, Paul says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in what? In love. And this word is agape, to walk in God's love. And then he gives us an example, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice of God. So what is agape love? Number one, agape love is unconditional. Do we love God unconditionally? Because God loves us unconditionally. I know, I get it. Some of you are like, no, God doesn't love me when I sin. You ready for me to blow your socks off? Yes, he does. Because your salvation wasn't based on you cleaning yourself up. God didn't send Jesus to die for the people who are just already perfect and didn't need him. He sent Jesus to die for the messed up folk, of which when I'm scanning this room, I love you and I've missed you, but we all messed up. God sent Jesus for all of us to demonstrate how much he loves us. Now, some people are saying, oh, pastor, you're saying it's okay for me to sin? I'm saying when you get agape love, you're not going to necessarily want to as much as you're going to want to be pleasing to him. We are playing the legalistic game. I'm not at all giving anyone a license to sin. I'm giving you a license to love God. And when you love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, you're going to fulfill the law because it's not that much bearing to him. You're going to choose God over the other stuff. Amen? We get the cart in front of the horse. Let's continue on. So if I'm asking myself, am I loving the way God called me to love? I got to say, do I love God unconditionally? Now, don't answer quickly. Do our circumstances, when things are going good, we worship well. But when things are going bad, we think, some God you are. You allowed me to get a speeding ticket when I was speeding. You're a really great God. Some God you are. I had something bad happen. I had a bump in the road. And maybe, just maybe, it's the bumps. I got to tell you this, guys. It's been the bumps in the road in my life where God has been there. It's been the times I said, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. It's been the times of loneliness. It's been the times of loss. It's been the times of suffering that I've known that my friend is closer than a brother, that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Agape love is always looking to give rather than receive. Agape love is unselfish, and what we can find through Jesus and we can find through God's example is agape love does not hold back. Can that be said of our love for God? Now, right there, you know, I'm like, wow, that's a tall order. I kind of feel like, how in the world could I possibly meet that order? You know, I wonder why so-called Christians today are ineffective and they don't have much passion in their pursuit of God, as we read in the book of Acts. And the bottom line, I believe, my personal thought, I believe the reason we don't see the Holy Spirit moving the way that we have seen in ages past in Christianity is because I don't believe that we love God the way that God has designed and called us to love him. Because I got to tell you, I'm still selfish. Anybody else? And I got a choice every day. I got a choice to wake up and to look in that mirror and say, God, I want to love you more than all these things. Peter, do you love me more than these? Church, do you love me more? Now, don't get condemned, because this is not, oh, this is going to be horrible. This is God. Experiencing God's love to a greater level alleviates your stress, puts you in connection with one who loves you like nothing else can. I know people who have had nothing and been content. And then I know people who have climbed the ladder of success, and the more successful that they have gotten, the further away from God they have gotten, and the more miserable and stressed out their life has become. It ain't about possessions. It ain't about any of those things. I've known people, I just need that special somebody to come next to me. Then after about 10 years, they're in for marital counseling. They're driving me crazy. You see, no one can satisfy like God. No, like your heavenly Father. Your heavenly Father has the ultimate life for you in loving Him. You see, in that way, you know, we are. We're kind of like Peter. We have a love, and God's wanting to take us to a deeper love. And so the great command takes precedence over everything in our lives. And I mean everything. You shall love the Lord, agape. You shall have God's love for me in all your heart, in all your soul, in all your mind. Unconditionally selfless, totally committed God, love from God. So how do we do this? Because right there, I know it's an order beyond that which I can fulfill in my own ability. And the great news is, I don't have to fulfill it in my own ability. Here's the best part. Here's the very, 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 very best part. God's love allows us to boldly love Him. And I use that word, boldly love Him. It's not about your effort. It's not about, you know, I talk like this to people and they're like, okay, I'm going to leave this room and I'm going to try to love God more. It's not about that. It's about accepting His love and yielding to it. We accept God is love. When we accept more of God, we have more love. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 4 through 6. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As we accept this love, it begins to flow through us. It is God-centered, it is God-authored, and God is the one who empowers us. Understanding God's love then allows us to come to Him and to love Him unconditionally. Remember last week we said Hebrews chapter 4 verses 16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive and find grace to help in the time of need. Think about this, guys. Why would you need help and grace if you were perfect? Come on, I'm going to set somebody free here today. Why would you need grace or help if you were perfect or not struggling? Would you? No. And yet, the author of Hebrews, Scripture tells us that we should, with a confidence, we should draw near. In other words, you should run to Daddy. But I don't think, what if I'm not all that put together? What if I have some issues in my life? Run to God! Well, I don't know everything. I don't have enough head knowledge. Run to God! Well, I messed up last week. Come on! But I messed up. I had a big mistake, and I have really failed. Surely that disqualifies me. I can do better. Run to God. I haven't understood agape. Run to God. It's not up to you, guys. It's not up to you to make it happen. It's not about getting yourself the skill set and getting enough scriptures lined up so you finally can pass that test. It's not about that. It's about accepting God's love. And it's about allowing God's love and yielding. Everybody say yielding to God's love. So, today, Let me give you one last analogy before we conclude our service today. During sabbatical, I was wrestling this issue. I spent the majority of sabbatical wrestling God's love. Wrestling, what does this really mean? Because it's a bigger level in my personal life and some other things. Because you've heard, I got dad issues, I got mom issues, I got issues. don't laugh. So it was funny though, is then God took me back to the garden and He showed me something. Because remember, Satan is the accuser, and the serpent came and accused Adam. He said, you know, look, hey, God said don't eat from this tree because you got, you know what? If you eat from this, you're going to die. But you know what? It's not what's going to happen. Satan contradicted God's word. He said, if you eat of this, you are not going to die, but God knows that you're actually going to know good and evil. You're going to be like God. So if you do something, you're going to be more like God. In other words, I want you in your own works to labor, to pick from the tree, to take something off of the tree, and then make you more like God. I want you to do something to make yourself more like God. And here's how God remedied that. It's not about what you can take off the tree to make you more like God. So here's my remedy. I'm going to put something on a tree. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. That which you took off to make you more like God, I'm going to put something on, something perfect, something pure, something that you didn't create, that I created. And if you would accept that, not go work it, by me putting on the tree, that's going to be the thing that allows you to become more like me. It's not about your labor. It's not about your work. It's about the level of accepting and yielding. And when I say yielding, that's where kind of the discipline comes in. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. There are those in the room here today who you know that you love God, but you're kind of like Daniel's son. You've been painting the fence the way that you've seen fences have been painted. You are waxing the car the way you've seen cars being waxed. You've done those things. You've done the love of God the way that you have seen it, but it hasn't been how the Master, how God has really purposed it. Agape. And so this morning, if you're here today and the Holy Spirit has kind of prompted you, that you've actually been more like Peter. You've been holding back. I've been loving to a degree. I've been loving as much as I thought it was. You know, but now maybe this God's love thing is a bit bigger. If today you recognize, I've been holding back. And if you want to love the Lord today with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and you know that you have not, run to God.
At the feet of Jesus, my world changed. Everything is brighter. I see a picture of what I can be. My life will never flee from what
First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
I open up my heart, please search me. Does anything displease you? lead me in the way.